first text that I want you to turn to or be prepared for is Luke chapter 13. And before we get there, I want to give you my subject, and I'm going to quote some text to set this up, what we're talking about. I'm going to begin a series today entitled Size Size Matter, S-I-Z-E. Size matters, okay? This series is going to be talking about church growth. We're going to talk about church growth because I believe that Faith Chapel Columbus is going to grow supernaturally fast. Can anybody believe for that? Okay, so what I want to do is I want to build your faith for that. This is lesson number one. And in lesson number one, I want to talk about numerical growth. Numerical growth matters to God. Numerical growth matters to God. Say that.
Numerical growth matters to God.
Okay, now we're not talking about spiritual growth. Okay, we're not talking about financial growth. So I want you to listen out of both of your ears, and I want you to be thinking about numerical growth. When I say listen out of both of your ears, here's what I'm saying. Every time you come to church or Bible study or whatever, you should always be listening on an individual level. You have dreams, you have goals, you have ambitions. God want to give you encouragement, give you insight so you can walk out the fulfillment of your individual dreams. But we're family and we're body, okay? We're a local church, we're corporate. So I want you to always be listening out of your ears because God is challenging us as a corporate group. Now we're talking about numerical growth matters. Now Jesus had a growth mentality. A growth mentality. John 15:8, here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, herein, we're not going to put these scriptures up on the monitor. Herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. Say much fruit.
Much fruit.
Now, if you read John chapter 15, verse 1 through 8, Jesus compares us to branches. And he says that the branches that are in me will bear fruit. He started off fruit. And then he says, I'm going to purge those branches or trim those branches in such a way where they will bear more fruit. And then in verse 8, he says that God is glorified when we bear much fruit. Now, oftentimes when people think about numerical growth, they think about the pastor growing the church, they think about God doing some special thing, but usually and often they do not think about themselves and what is my connection to the growth of the church. We're talking about numerical growth. But Jesus is growth-minded, and as disciples, we have to be growth-minded. Now listen at this. Peter was growth-minded. 2 Peter 3:9, this is what Peter said. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all, say all, should come to repentance. Now, let me ask a question. I don't know the statistics on this. How many people live in the Columbus area, approximately? How many? I didn't ask that right. Apparently, I didn't ask that question right. How many people live in the in population? I'm sorry, population. Is it 100,000? Yeah, you know, hey, she said we'll get that for you in just a minute. We can Google anything. Now, we can Google anything. Huh? It's a little over 100,000. As of 2016, there was 196,000 people. Okay, let's say we're at 2. Just round it off. Okay, 2. Then if there is 200,000 people in Columbus, we should not have a small church. We should not have a small church. Because most of those 200,000 people are not going to church anywhere. Most of them are not going anywhere. So Faith Chapel Columbus should not be a small church. So now it is important for us to be growth-minded. Jesus was growth-minded. Peter was growth-minded. But why? Peter says, God is not willing that any should perish. God does not want any of the 200,000, not a single one. God does not want a single one of those people to perish, but he wants all of them to come to repentance, all of them. Now, Paul was also growth-minded. 1 Timothy 2, verse 14, it says, who will have all men, say all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. Now, we got a number of you. We got a number of you that have been coming. We've been here over a year doing Bible studies. How many of you have been blessed? I mean, just talk to me. You've been blessed by it. Okay, now, God wants others also to come into the knowledge of what you've learned. So if we're going to be growth-minded, we can't just come to learn. Okay, whatever God blesses us with is a stewardship. So if he gives us revelation and you come to Bible study, you come to church on Sundays, whenever you come and you get this powerful revelation, then you have a spiritual responsibility to take what you've learned or part of what you learned and share it in your world. Because God wants everyone to be saved, but he also wants them to come into the knowledge of the truth that you're learning. In other words, Paul was growth-minded. And if we're going to be disciples of Jesus, we have to be growth-minded. We can't be pew-sitters. Okay, we just can't be pew-sitters, okay? We have to think, and most people don't connect themselves to the growth of the church. That's what I want you to do during the series. I want you to connect yourself to the growth of the church. God's going to help us. We need God to help us, okay? There are strategies and all that, but the major strategy that God uses to grow any church is people. People grow churches. People grow churches. Sheep give birth to sheep. Shepherds feed sheep, but sheep, if they're healthy, will reproduce themselves. Now, I want to share with you a parable that Jesus taught in Luke chapter 14. He said that a certain man had a certain feast. This dinner party. He was preparing a great dinner party, a banquet feast, and the scripture says he invited many to it. The Message Bible says he invited a great number of people. So finally, the dinner was ready, and he sent his servants out to tell the invitees that everything was ready. So when the servants went out, the people that were invited began to make excuses. One group says, now listen, you know, we just bought some real estate, we just bought some land, and we got to go and check it out, so we apologize, we can't be there. And then it went to the next group, and the next group said, you know, well, we just bought 5 yokes of oxen and team of oxen, and we just got to go and see did we do good on that purchase, and we just apologize for not showing up. And then the other person said, well, listen, I just got married. I got to go home to my wife. I can't come either. So the service came back to the man and said, listen, we tried to get him to come, but they wouldn't come. Now listen to what scripture says. The scripture says that the man who prepared the feast was angry. So he said to them, I want you to go out into the streets and the alleys, and I want you to bring back those that are poor, those that are homeless. I want you to bring back those that are disabled. I want you to bring back those that are lame, those that are crippled. And then the servant says something. Listen carefully now. The servant said something. The servant said, Master, we've done it. And there's still room. Now listen what the man said, because Jesus is talking about the Father. He said, now I want you to go into the highways then, the hedges, and I want you to compel them. I want you to force them. I want you to drag them. Whatever you have to do, I want you to get them. Now listen what the Message Bible says. He says, I want my house full. I want my house what? I want my house full. God wants every last thing full. He don't want any empty spaces. No empty spaces. No empty spaces. That's the Father's will. It is obvious to me when we look at those texts that numerical growth matters to God. Sometimes we have a mindset that is anti-growth, but we don't know it. We have a mindset. So we have to all assume responsibility for the growth of this church, because God is not willing that any should perish. God wants everybody to get saved. And then God doesn't want us to have a private party. Well, we just enjoying this. Well, wasn't that good? Well, didn't you enjoy? One Pastor Mike go, ooh, that set my soul up. No. It's not a private party. God is investing in us, stewarding us with revelation, and we have a responsibility to share that with our world. And I'm going to talk to you about sharing that with your world. Now, let's talk about God's attitude toward barrenness. Keep in your mind now, we're not talking about spiritual growth. We're talking about numerical growth. Let's look at God's attitude toward barrenness. Let's look at Luke chapter 13, traditional King James Version, verse 6 through 9. Notice what it says. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and he found none. Then said he to the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? And he answered, said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year, and I'll till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. In this text, we see God's attitude toward barrenness. Barrenness is an unacceptable state. You are supposed to bear fruit. You're not called to just get saved, get filled with the word, but you're supposed to reproduce yourself. There should be somebody that have been impacted in our church, somebody that's at this church because of you. Somebody that has come into the kingdom, somebody that has fallen in love with Jesus because of you. Barrenness is an unacceptable state. Let's look at the tree. Now listen at this. God is looking for fruit in our lives. He's looking for fruit in our churches. Listen, God wants you as an individual believer. How many of y'all love Jesus? And I know you love him. God wants you to personally bear fruit. Amen. This ministry that we're going to be planning here, God doesn't want us to just take up space. We are called to bear fruit in this city. And God is going to help us to bear fruit in this city. We're not just going to have a good time at the church. We are going to bear fruit. Now listen at this. Nothing which only takes out can survive. Nothing which only takes out can survive. That tree was headed toward culmination of its existence, because nothing that only takes out can survive. On a spiritual level, if you're only taking, only hearing, only receiving, only getting blessed, your spiritual walk cannot survive. Are you going to go to heaven? Absolutely, because you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. But you're never going to grow spiritually if you're only receiving. You're never going to walk in the fullness of what God has called you to do. And some of you, you're never going to walk in the specifics of your destiny. Some people, they ask this question like, you know, what does God want me to do? What does God want me to do? I don't know what God wants me to do. Here's what I learned years ago. I didn't know I was called to be a pastor. I didn't know I would be the pastor of Faith Chapel, but I did the general. I knocked on every door in my community. I was so excited about Jesus. I wasn't a reverend, I wasn't a preacher, but I had got saved and I was excited about Jesus. I knocked on every door, every single door, because I didn't want anybody in that community to be lost. I didn't want a single person. It is doing the general that gets you into the specifics. God is never going to talk to you about the specifics of your calling if you're not doing what good Christians just should be doing, and that's bearing fruit. God intends for you to bear fruit in your world, because there are people that will never, never listen to me. It's your world. It's where you are, and you have an anointing in your world to bear fruit. Come on, say, I'm anointed.
I'm anointed.
Yes, you are anointed to bear fruit. You are not a pew sitter. That your calling is not to sit on a pew. No, that is not your calling. Your calling is to bear fruit. Bear fruit. Your calling is to bear fruit, and not just a little fruit. You're going to bear a whole lot of fruit. And some of you, sometimes we throw the bread. We just throw the bread. We depress. I'm just so depressed. I'm depressed. You let pass. I'm depressed. And a lot of times I don't struggle with depression. I don't struggle. Why? Because I'm always trying to give something to somebody. And I ain't talking about money now. I'm talking about I'm always trying to share what I know with somebody. And I discovered that when I share what I know, God keeps giving me more. He's just giving me more revelation. So we get depressed because all we're doing is taking, taking, eating, 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 eating.
Wow.
And people all around us need to have the information that you've been privileged. And we're going to learn some things in that word. We're going to go deep in that word. And I'm telling you, you're going to see things you never saw before. And you're going to be so happy. But God ain't just blessing you for you. God has more than you in mind. Whenever God teaches you anything, he's got more than you in mind. He's thinking about all those people in your circle. And some of you precious people, here's what's going to happen. That depression is going to lift off you. When you get outside of yourself, when you're thinking, I've had some difficult days, like Martin Luther King said, I had some difficult days, but I would walk in this church and I would stand flat-footed and teach that word, even though I had all kind of issues, marital issues, financial issues, physical issues. People were staying away by the thousands, but I had to get out of myself, not thinking about myself, and I had to think about the kingdom, think about the people, and you'll have fullness of joy. You can have joy all the time.
Amen.
Glory.
Amen.
Listen at this. The tree was taking energy, was taking money, time from the vine dresser. The tree was draining strength and sustenance from the soil. In the return, the tree was producing nothing. We're not called to produce nothing, precious people. We're not called. My assignment is to train you and develop you to bear fruit. That's what I'm called to do. I'm called to develop you. I'm called to coach you. I'm called to motivate you. I'm called to fire you up. I'm called to build some confidence on the inside of you, because you are anointed to bear fruit. There are people who will listen to you. There are people who won't listen to a preacher, but they'll listen to you. Let's talk about growth is God's will. Say that. Growth is God's will. So how does you know, I was going to turn, y'all, I'm going to talk, okay? I'm going to talk. I'm going to give you the scriptures. Hey, I'm just going to talk, okay? I'm going to give them the text and I'm going to talk. Okay, growth is God's will. How do we know? God always teaches us in scripture through precept and example. Precept simply means he shows us a principle, or he shows us a mandate in scripture. Example is that he gives us an illustration to prove out, to exemplify the principle or the precept. So we know that growth is God's will, because when we look at the precept in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, we see the kingdom mandates. Kingdom mandates. We see the laws of productivity. In Genesis 1:28, God tells us, be fruitful. That's what he told the man. He blessed the first man and he said, I want you to be fruitful. In other words, I want you to be productive. I want you to produce something. Secondly, he says to that man, I want you to multiply. I want you to increase what you produce. I want you to make many what you produce. Thirdly, he said, I want you to replenish the earth. I want you to fill it up. Fill it up. Cause it to overflow. And then fourthly, he says, I want you to subdue the earth. I want you to rule over it. I want you to conquer it. And anything that comes up against you being fruitful, I want you to overcome it through intelligent means. So we see the kingdom mandate. You're called to be fruitful. You're called to multiply. You're called to replenish. And you're called to subdue. Now watch this. Listen to me carefully. Listen to me carefully. Listen to me carefully. Listen to me carefully. You should be reproducing somebody. When you look in your world, who have you reproduced? Who's in the kingdom because of you? Who's walking with God because of you? Who has been inspired because of you? You have a mandate on your life. You have a mandate life. You should be able to look around and see some fruit. This is a person that I led to the Lord. This is a person that I invited to the church. This person won't turn on to God, but I've been talking to them and now they're turned on to God. You should be bearing some fruit. You have a kingdom mandate to be bearing fruit. Now, let's show you the example from the scriptures. In Acts chapter 1, we see supernatural growth. Acts chapter 1, verse 15. How many did the church start off with? Acts 1, 15. On the day of Pentecost, how many was it? Talk to me. It was 120. On the day of Pentecost, Peter preached, and in Acts 2, 41, 3,000 got saved. How many in church now? 3,120. That's pretty growth. That's pretty good growth, isn't it? Wouldn't it be great? We have lunch Sunday on the 29th. And by the next Sunday, by the next month on the 29th, we have about 3,000 folks that's member. Ooh. Wouldn't that be exciting?
Amen.
Well, it's possible. You say it's 200,000 folks. That's possible because you said it's 200,000 folks, so no shortage of customers.
That's right.
Then Acts chapter 4, verse 4, 5,000 more was added to the Lord. How many, come on, mathematicians, how many is that in the church now? How many? 8,120 folks. Think about it. Huh? Oh, they're looking at the 5,000. Okay, we had 3,000, then we had 120. That's 8,120. Wouldn't that be amazing by the end of the year? Amen. 1 year later, we got 8,000. Oh, everywhere. We can go to Phoenix City if you want it, but we got 200,000 right here. 8,120. God is showing us. He's showing us. I don't want anybody to perish. I want all to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. God is giving us a pattern. He's giving us an illustration of his heart and his mind. God wants people. God is after people. I want to reach people. I'm in love with people. The same way that God saved you. How many got really saved? You really got saved. You needed to get saved. I know we all needed to, but we just really needed to get saved. Well, there are a lot of other people that really need to be saved. They really need to be saved. And then in Acts chapter 5, verse 14, put that up there. Go and put that up there. It's up there. And believers were the more added to the Lord. How many? Oh, Lord, we need to stop counting now. 8,120, and then he's adding how many? That's what I'm seeing. I'm not seeing the faithful few, precious people. No. I see people coming from far and near.
Yes.
I see them rising up early in the morning to get in church.
Yes.
I see them standing in line
to
get in church. Not the faithful few. We're not believing for the faithful few. We're not believing for the faithful few. We don't believe in the faithful few. It's too many people to have the faithful few. But we have to have a growth mentality. What kind of mentality? A growth mentality. Now, I want to share with you, because I got to let Naomi come, but I want to share with you. Now, listen to me carefully. Listen to me carefully. There are always problems inherent in a crowd. Okay? I want you to prepare for this. And I don't want you to talk away the people. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. We can speak death to our life, death to our church, death to growth, or we can speak life to it. Let's look at some things inherent in a crowd. There's going to be an immense rise of demand for and on leaders. We're going to have a lot of leaders. We're going to have people to step up to the plate. But the challenge with that is we got to have people who are willing to accept the demand. Because anytime you got a growing church, it's a demand. Well, I ain't got time. Ain't them folk ain't paying me nothing down there at the church. I sure hope they could get somebody, but I got my own life. No, see, we can't speak death to it. Okay, we can't speak death to it. If you can't make the commitment, you can't make it, don't make it. Don't talk against it. Don't talk against it. Because with the crowd is a demand. There's some other problems. Corporate growth rate tends to slow down as size increases. That's why you have churches with all these numbers, like 20,000, but ain't but 3,000 showing up on Sundays. Okay? What happens a lot of times, you have issues like space issues. You got to have more learning space, bathroom space, parking space. All those challenges come up with a growing church. We have to subdue those challenges. Don't talk about it. I'm so tired. I can't get through this parking lot. I'm tired of standing. I got to stand in line to get MP3. I don't want to stand in line. I got to stand in line to shake my pastor's hand. I don't want to. No. We have it. Because God is not willing that any should perish. And we're excited now because more people can get saved and more people can get delivered and more people can hear the word. So we're not going to talk about it. We're going to subdue it. Okay. We're going to subdue it. And then it's uncomfortable. Growth is uncomfortable. Long lines, uncomfortable. Waiting to get parking space, uncomfortable. Getting your kids in there, Oh, God, we got to sit all squeezed up on each other. Oh, God, we got to get in here and get out because these folk got to. No. We happy because God is not willing that any should perish. He wants all to come into the knowledge of the truth. So we excited. We accept. We overcome that. We subdue that. I tell you, a big challenge that people have is the drop in personalism. I don't know nobody. I remember we were down at the university, down there on Wednesday night. I looked around and we were just hugging each other and praying for each other. And I knew everybody. And now look at all these folk. I don't know everybody. I don't even know where my child at. I don't know where my husband at. I don't want to know where nobody at. No, we can't talk like that. Okay, God has a plan for us to stay connected. He has a plan for us to keep connected, but stop growing is not the key. Somebody said, well, that's why I don't like all them old long churches. I don't like them old big old churches, them old mega churches. I want me a small church. No. You don't want a small church. Because if you want a small church, that means you're anti-kingdom. You anti-God. God is not willing that any should be saved. In order for the church to stay small, nobody can get saved. Nobody can get delivered. Nobody can get blessed. Nobody can talk about what happened at church. You don't want a small church. Don't say that. Don't say it. Death and life is in the power of your tongue. God got a system. He got a system how he's going to keep us together in some small things. He's going to work it out. Come on, say he's going to work it out. Now, here's a big challenge. Here's the big challenge. We face this at Faith Chapel Birmingham. We'll face it here. When you have a large church, you lose the availability of your pastor. I remember a time I could just knock on the door and see him. Now I got a schedule. I got to have an appointment. It takes me months to talk to my pastor. I want to be able to talk to my pastor. I like me a church. I want to be. No. You lose the availability of your pastor because, listen carefully now, if your pastor is always available, one of two things will happen. If your pastor is always available to you, he or she will implode. I intend to live to be 110. How many want me to live a long time? Okay, if I am available to you all the time, I am not going to make it.
Amen.
I'm not going to make it, praise the people. I ain't going to be able to make it. Okay, growing churches, they don't have that expectation.
Yes. My God.
They don't have that expectation.
Right.
The pastor's role as the church grow has to change, become narrow from moving from leading people to leading leaders.
Amen.
If when a pastor is always available, the church stops growing because that means the pastor's not praying the way he should be. He's not spending time. I was up all night preparing last night. All night. That's what you want.
Amen.
You want a man of God who's going to spend time in that word. You want a man of God who's going to spend time praying and lifting you up. And I'm praying for you. I'm claiming Psalms 91 for you every single day, that no evil will befall you, that the angels are encamped around about you. That's what you want your man of God doing. You don't want your man of God here and there and doing this and doing that and giving you a snack on Sunday. I mean, just a snack. I mean, just an old little old snack on Sunday. No, you don't want that. Lord Jesus. Okay. You following me? Okay. Can I show you two more things? Two more things? Okay. I want you to put Acts 2 up there and I'm going to quote the other one. Now listen to me carefully and I'm almost finished. You get some out of this? You get some out of this? Now listen carefully. God plus people equals growth. Come on, say it.
God plus people equals growth.
Come on, say it again.
God plus people equals growth.
Come on, say it again.
God plus people equals growth.
Come on, let's say it one more time.
God plus people equals growth.
Now, the proof text for that is 1 Corinthians 3, 6 through 9. It says, Paul planted, Apollos water, but God gave the increase. So we see humans involved, but God giving the increase. And then the scripture says, listen at this, we're co-laborers with God. Whenever you see a church that's growing, I mean a really growing church, it's not just God. It's not just God. It's God giving the increase, but listen at this, only God can bring growth, but he uses Christians who are engaged to do it.
Amen.
It's not some special thing God is doing over there. You know, God is moving over there. God has some special. No. Show me a growing church, a growing ministry. I'll show you a church that has Christians who are engaged. Not Christians who are sitting on the pew. Christians who are engaged. Christians who have accepted some ownership for the growth of their church.
Yes.
Now, let's look at a text and we'll close here. Hope you got some out of this. This is my introductory lesson. We're talking about size matters. Now, look at this text. Here's the early church. I want to show you a group of engaged people. Then they that gladly received this word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrines, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily in one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, and praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. There's a couple of things. I'm going to give you five S's of an engaged Christian. Five S's of an engaged Christian. And before I give you them, I want you to notice something that was very interesting about this group of Christians. They had a tremendous desire for the word. The Bible says they devoted themselves steadfastly to the apostles' doctrine. It means that they were committed, always present, habitually in place to hear from heaven, to hear the word of God. Now watch this. So they understood that the word was the answer. Got it? Now I'm showing you how churches grow, because it's not magical. They had a serious appreciation for the word. Okay, they had a sincere appreciation for the word. Okay, but they were also committed to fellowship. In other words, they saw their need for one another. What we have created in some environments is people who are committed to the word, but they don't understand that some of their supply is supposed to come from one another. So they end up in churches and they disappointed, because they have the right focus on the word, but they're not connected to one another. Are you following me? Some supply, and we're going to show you from the scriptures, some of your supply is supposed to come from saints. So God has created a vehicle, and I'm going to show you what that vehicle is, so that you could stay connected and the church could be growing at the same time, but you stay connected and you will get much of your supply from being connected to other saints. Does that make sense? That's why the scripture says that they were committed to temple worship. That's congregational worship. But they was also committed to house to house. And don't be afraid. Now, we ain't talking about setting up stuff in your house. House to house is a principle of taking something that's large and making it small. In other words, have a time where you have a large gathering and it's going to be thousands of people at Faith Chapel. It's going to be thousands. But then we've got to break it down where there are small units, where people can stay in a situation where they're known and they know others. Does that make sense to you? So the key to intimacy is to not stop the church from growing. The key to intimacy is just build in a mechanism that keep people in some smaller settings. Does that make sense to you? Okay, now let me give you the five S's of an engaged person. And you have to be evaluating yourself out of this. Are you a Christian or are you an engaged Christian? Number one, the first S is student/study. Student. They were students of the word. Students of the word. We're going to have the word going forth in a lot of different ways. We got a church app that you can download. It's free. It's going to have a lot of sermons on it. You're going to have it right at your, you're going to have it where you can go to it. I'm doing a podcast every Tuesday. I'm beginning a new podcast on choosing to win over tragedies. I'm going to be talking about what's a tragedy, what causes tragedies, why God doesn't stop tragedies. You're going to have information where you, but you have to be devoted to the word. Engaged Christians are students of the word. Number two, sowing. They were constantly they were giving generously. They were giving generously. Number three, service. Service. Service, volunteering in the local church, volunteering in the community, serving the local church, serving the community. They, watch this, they were connected to the local church, but they were connected to the community. And that's why the Bible says they were well favored with the people. Because they saw them engaged. Number four, small groups. They were connected in small units. And number five, they were seeking. Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. Disciples of Christ should be doing just that. As a disciple of Christ, here's what you should be doing. You should be sharing your faith. I'm going to talk in this series on about how to share your faith. You should be sharing your faith with other people. Secondly, every time you come and you learn something, you got to give them the MP3 or do something or something. Let, this is what I learned. Give them your notes or whatever. You should be sharing what you learn. Seeking. And then thirdly, inviting folk. That's how churches grow. It ain't nothing magical. You got to go with me. You got to come with me. You got to come. I want you to come with me. I want you. And when you have people that are engaged, the church will absolutely explode. So from a practical side, there's going to be two keys. Retainment and expansion. We have to retain the people that's come. God's vehicle for retaining is small groups. Expansion, God's vehicle for expansion is evangelism. We got to be talking. That's what we're going to talk about the rest of the way. We're going to talk about small groups, why are these things so important, and then we're going to talk about sharing our faith. We have to have Christians who understand how to share their faith. Listen, it's easy to share your faith. Once I got saved, let me tell you something. I was dating Pete, so I wasn't mad, but I almost drove her away. I mean, once I got saved, Pete gonna say, you gotta get saved. And God just dealt with me to back off from her because I was driving her away. But I had a heart to reach people. I had received something. I felt like everybody needed to have that. And I was out there knocking on them doors, and y'all, I didn't know as much of the Bible as y'all know. I ain't know no more. All I could tell them folk, y'all, I'm saved and God wants you saved. I ain't know nothing about that. I ain't know nothing about it. I was just knocking on doors and God sent a white guy to my house. I don't know how the guy got to my house. I honestly don't know how he got to my house. And he came to my house and he took a track and showed me how to take a track and walk people through Christ. I've been walking people to Christ ever since. I learned early as a Christian to share my faith. Early as a Christian to share what God has done for you. Everybody got a testimony. You got to be sharing. You got to be sharing. You got to be talking. We can't be passive anymore. We can't be concerned what they're going to think about us. They're going to think you crazy. But you're going to be the one they're going to be knocking, calling when they got problems. They're going to start off thinking you crazy. But they're going to want the crazy one when they have a challenge in their life. Did you get anything out of this lesson? Yes.